On the days that he would have lunch at the house, Colonel Herinaldo Marquez would linger on the begonia porch playing Chinese checkers with Amaranta. Úrsula would bring them coffee and milk and biscuits and would take over the children so that they would not bother them. Amaranta was really making an effort to kindle in her heart the forgotten ashes of her youthful passion. With an anxiety that came to be intolerable, she waited for the lunch days, the afternoons of Chinese checkers, and time flew by in the company of the warrior with a nostalgic name whose fingers trembled imperceptibly as he moved the pieces. But the day on which Colonel Herinaldo Marquez repeated his wish to marry her, she rejected him. "I'm not going to marry anyone," she told him, "much less you. You love Aureliano so much that you want to marry me because you can't marry him." Colonel Herinaldo Marquez was a patient man. "I'll keep on insisting," he said. "Sooner or later I'll convince you." He kept on visiting the house. Shut up in her bedroom, biting back her secret tears, Amaranta put her fingers in her ears so as not to hear the voice of the suitor as he gave Úrsula the latest war news, and in spite of the fact that she was dying to see him, she had the strength not to go out and meet him. At that time, Colonel Aureliano Buendía took the time to send a detailed account to Macondo every 2 weeks. But only once, almost 8 months after he had left, did he write to Úrsula. A special messenger brought a sealed envelope to the house with a sheet of paper inside bearing the colonel's delicate hand. "Take good care of Papa, because he is going to die." Úrsula became alarmed. "If Aureliano says so, it's because Aureliano knows," she said. And she had them help her take José Arcadio Buendía to his bedroom. Not only was he as heavy as ever, but during his prolonged stay under the chestnut tree, he had developed the faculty of being able to increase his weight at will, to such a degree that 7 men were unable to lift him, and they had to drag him to the bed. A smell of tender mushrooms, of woodflower fungus, of old and concentrated outdoors, impregnated the air of the bedroom as it was breathed by the colossal old man, weather-beaten by the sun and the rain. The next morning, he was not in his bed. In spite of his undiminished strength, José Arcadio Buendía was in no condition to resist. It was all the same to him. If he went back to the chestnut tree, it was not because he wanted to, but because of a habit of his body. Úrsula took care of him, fed him, brought him news of Aureliano. But actually, the only person with whom he was able to have contact for a long time was Prudencio Aguilar. Almost pulverized at that time by the decrepitude of death, Prudencio Aguilar would come twice a day to chat with him. They talked about fighting cocks. They promised each other to set up a breeding farm for magnificent birds, not so much to enjoy their victories, which they would not need then, as to have something to do on the tedious Sundays of death. It was Prudencio Aguilar who cleaned him, fed him, and brought him splendid news of an unknown person called Aureliano, who was a colonel in the war. When he was alone, José Arcadio Buendía consoled himself with the dream of the infinite rooms. He dreamed that he was getting out of bed, opening the door and going into an identical room with the same bed with a wrought iron head, the same wicker chair, and the same small picture of the Virgin of Help on the back wall. From that room he would go into another that was just the same, the door of which would open into another that was just the same, the door of which would open into another one just the same, and then into another exactly alike, and so on to infinity. He liked to go from room to room, as in a gallery of parallel mirrors, until Prudencio Aguilar would touch him on the shoulder. Then he would go back from room to room, walking in reverse, going back over his trail, and he would find Prudencio Aguilar in the room of reality. But one night, 2 weeks after they took him to his bed, Prudencio Aguilar touched his shoulder in an intermediate room, and he stayed there forever, thinking that it was the real room. On the following morning, Úrsula was bringing him his breakfast when she saw a man coming along the hall. He was short and stocky, with a black suit on, and a hat that was also black, enormous, pulled down to his taciturn eyes.